In any way? We'll need a motion to accept the agenda as written here.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Ms. Hannah?
Yes.
Ms. Richards?
Yes.
Mr. Van Valkenburg?
Yes.
Mr. Finch?
Yes.
Mr. Michael?
Yes.
And the motion passes five to zero.
Thank you. Ex parte communication. Has anybody had an opportunity? Kathy?
I have. Okay, case number 2024-706, Mary Callahan Noss. I have had a conversation with the parties involved, and I would like to recluse myself.
Do you think you'll be able to make a decision without that information that you received?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to recuse yourself?
Yep.
Okay, fine.
I do.
Okay.
Oath to witnesses. Is anybody going to testify in any of the cases?
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm testimony is the truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
The minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes of our last meeting, which was months ago in July? And if you have, are there any changes or additions to the minutes? Seeing none, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
I'll second it.
Yes.
Ms. Hannah?
Yes.
Ms. Richards?
Yes.
Mr. Van Valkenburg?
Yes.
And Mr. Michael?
Yes.
And the motion passes five to zero.
Thank you, Deb. There's no old business, so we'll move on to new business. First is 9A, case number 2024-022, property address 4787 South Atlantic Avenue. Mr. Hooker.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Case number 2024-022, KM O'Donnell Port Orange LLC, in care of Kevin and Mary O'Donnell at 4787 South Atlantic Avenue. Alleged violations are the Code of Ordinances, Section 18-4, posting of address. Synopsis, no physical address posted. Property appraiser's notes depicting ownership. This is a non-homesteaded parcel. Volusia County tax rolls. Warranty deed. Second page of the warranty deed. And also the LLC corporation showing Mr. Kevin O'Donnell as the registered agent. This is the notice of violation, which was the case actually started January 2nd of 2024. It was based on town council's decision in conjunction with Volusia County to require beachside properties to affix a numerical address on the rear part of their property, so anything facing the beach. And over time, there was a few changes to that ordinance, so those beach owners were granted additional time to comply. Ultimately, in June, a notice of violation was sent out for the violation. And this is the specific section of code. The letter was returned, certified letter was returned as unclaimed. And then we hand-delivered the notice of violation to the owner on November 1st of 2024. And this is the notice of violation as well. The affidavit of service, again, on November 8th. And photo authentication affidavit, you'll see four photographs, two dated November 14th, two dated November 19th. This is the address in question from the rear of the property. As you see, there's no numerical addresses on the property. And it's that white building there. And again, no numerical scene beachside. And on the 19th, same thing. And again, the same. On Friday, Mr. O'Donnell did send me photographs showing that the address is now posted on the building. So at this point, staff would ask for the order of noncompliance and assess the $250 administrative fee.
So, pretty simple. We'll need a motion to find the property.
I have a few questions.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dave, could you go through the timeline again when you first notified them and then when you hand-delivered the notice? What's the timeline?
Yes. So it started in January. Everybody, all Beachside front properties, were given a courtesy letter and granted them 120 days, which brought it out to June. In April, town council modified that. I'm sorry. The January letter gave them until April 16th. And then in April, town council made some changes to that date and gave it out till middle June. Then the notice of violation was sent out in June, came back unclaimed. I did talk to Ms. O'Donnell, and they were out of town for a while. That's
and
the reason.
And when did you talk to them?
I talked to them in August and then again in September.
Okay.
We finally met up in November, and that's when I handed them the notice of violation.
In November?
Yes.
What was the date?
November 8th.
So just a couple of weeks ago?
Correct.
And they repaired it quickly? As in
they
from
did.
From your notice you hand-delivered?
Yes, but the conversations I had with Ms. O'Donnell was that she understood that she needed to get those done in those previous conversations back in August.
So basically it took them from August through a couple of weeks ago to actually get it done.
Yes, and more specifically after they were handed the notice of violation to get it done.
So on this particular violation of no address posted, are all of the other homes that are on Beachside in Ponce Inlet in accordance to the procedure and policy?
There are one or two more that are still in the pipeline with this, yes.
And same time frame, you notified them in January, April, and all that?
Yes.
So what we do today will set a precedence for the rest?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you buy a home in Ponce Inlet on Beachside, are you aware of that ordinance?
It's a new ordinance.
It's a new ordinance.
It's a recently addition to the ordinance.
It doesn't have anything to do with the purchase.
It's a volition.
Okay, so my question is, if I purchase a house Beachside, am I given notice by Volusia County or Ponce Inlet that numbers are required on my house?
If you purchase something now, with the exception of the, I believe it's two, maybe three that are still outstanding, they're all in compliance.
Okay.
I think what Dave is asking is if he bought a house today, mm-hmm. is anybody from Volusia County or the town of Ponce Inlet letting that purchaser know that they have to have their numerical address posted on the beach side of their home?
No.
I guess that was a facetious question because when I purchased my house, I had no idea about permits or trees or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sort of blind when I did it, and I've learned a lot.
I think
in general, our residents, new, present, and future, are not aware of all those ordinances.
Yeah. And that's why the education process goes through.
Thanks, Dave.
I had to talk to you first.
David, I was just curious, when you showed the pictures, there were a couple of properties there, and I'm not totally familiar, but the property, I think, was on the right that you were looking at. Is that not a multifamily or multi-resident unit?
There is, and that was part of the modification to that ordinance. We realized, because the original ordinance, when adopted, said that every property was required to have their own address. So you take that as five specific units in that one dwelling. So now you're going to have five different numbers out there. So we just want, you know, because it would have been like 4787 number one, 4787 number two. So staff went back and modified it just as long as it's the numerical out there. You could just use the main one out without the unit numbers. And same thing.
No, I mean, is it, again, you've got to administer a for lack of a complicated ordinance out there, because next to it is a much bigger complex that has a lot of units in it.
Yes.
And it just has to have one sign somewhere in that property. Because I didn't see any signs for the unit next to it, and I'm assuming it's a little bit farther south or something. I'm not, questioning that, but it's, okay.
Just to confirm, you said that it was addressed in January and in April. Just to clear and clarify things, that's when it was approached, when it was referenced and discussed at town council. January and then in April.
And revised in
April. So it was revised in April at town council. Town council did that at a public hearing, correct? Yes. Thank you.
And for clarity, there's no requirement on the size of the numbers or?
There is. It's 12 inches.
But you can go buy them anywhere. Yes. Is this, I don't need to go get a permit. I don't need to go get a licensed contractor or anything else. I can go to Ace Hardware or any place else and buy them as long as it's a big enough size.
Yes, sir.
Why aren't we hearing about the other ones that are in the pipeline all at the same time?
Just different circumstances.
Can you give me an example of a circumstance?
Yeah, people on vacation, people out of town. Some are working on a seawall currently, and they want to put the numbers on the seawall instead of on their homes.
Okay. That makes
sense. Was there any reason discussed why this wasn't done by the homeowner? By the homeowner?
No, sir.
Anything else? Elena, you're good?
Yes.
Questions answered?
Yes.
So we'll need a motion to find the property was in non-compliance. Dave, and it is now in compliance?
Yes, sir.
And to assess the $250 administrative fee, you're not looking for a fine or anything?
No, just the administrative fee for the cost of today's hearing and certified mailing.
Okay.
Is that your motion?
Was that a motion?
I'll second it.
Oh, I was going to, yeah.
I'll second it.
That was his motion.
Okay. Yes.
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 Thank you. We'll move on to 9B, case number 2024-752. Property address 4787 South Atlantic Avenue. Mr. Hooker.
Thank you. Case number 2024-752. K.M. O'Donnell, Port Orange, LLC, care of Kevin and Mary O'Donnell at 4787 South Atlantic Avenue. Alleged violations are the Land Development Code, Section 9.4, under definitions, Section 4.10.1, purpose of intent, specifically letters E and F, Section 4.10.3, landscape buffering and screening, Section 4.10.4, tree vegetation removal, specifically sections A and C. Synopsis is removal of protected vegetation without authorization. Again, property appraiser's notes depicting ownership as a non-homesteaded parcel. Volusia County tax rolls. Warranty deeds. Second page of the warranty deed. Division of Corporations, LLC, with Mr. O'Donnell as the registered agent, and the notice of violation. This case was started on September 28th for removal of sea grapes, which is a protected vegetation in the state of Florida, without authorization and or permits. There is a designated protection zone onto the property, which was in violation when the sea grapes removed that trip that provision of that code, so the protection zone was required to maintain that vegetation. Sea grapes are also a natural habitat. That's the reason for the section E. And then in letter F, it also protects coastal hazards. And that's the reason that particular section. Section 410.3 is landscape and buffering, is the maintenance, just reminding you that permits are needed. And since it is in specific areas, other agencies are involved, which would require permitting. And again, another section, just any type of removal would need permitting. And then again, specific to letter C is a protection of the specimen vegetation within a protected zone. Now, this letter was also hand-delivered to the O'Donnells on November 8th. And you're going to see eight photographs. One photograph dated April 13th, and that's going to be through Tyler Connect. It's a Volusia County aerial photograph. Three photographs dated September 28th, and four photographs dated November 14th. We've been dealing with Ms. Winters. She's the environmentalist three with Volusia County, gave us this handout about sea grate trimmings. More specifically, is within this little box in the highlighted section here. Now, permits are not needed for trimming if it's based on certain criteria. Now, this shrub was less than 72 inches in height, which would not require trimming. However, no more than one-third of the leaf mass for each plant should not be removed. So anything more than a third would require permitting. And then the second section down there, again, just outlines that since it's less than 42 inches and less than 6 feet for the trees, or completely destroyed, will not be exempt from any permitting. So the photographs you're going to see here will outline those sections. Now, the photo you see here in the red, those are sea grapes, and those are the areas that were removed. Again, we're talking about the white building to the right. If you look in the middle of the, let me back up here. This is this lot here. You can see the fence line going from Atlantic Avenue to the beach. It's on an angle. So this picture is a little deceiving, okay? If you look in the middle of the green building down by the beach line where the sea grapes are, you'll see this little green, it's a walkway, it's a fence, small green fence. So to the right of that is where all these sea grapes are removed. And as you can tell, there's more than a third of the vegetation per plant which was removed, which would require permitting. Just above this hill is the coastal construction line. So everything on the right side of this photograph, where that hill depicts, requires state permitting. Mr. and Ms. O'Donnell has reached out to the state on Friday, and unfortunately, they have not made contact with them yet about what needs to be done for mitigation of these plants. An email this morning with Mr. O'Donnell indicates that as soon as he hears from them, he'll let me know. And hopefully this will be resolved sometime in the very near future. However, the removal of this plant were put behind this line of vegetation. So if you look at this photo here, you can see the palm trees that are lined on the dune. Now that same palm tree is right here on the right-hand side, and all the vegetation was removed, was put in that little swale, and ultimately removed from the property.
Ultimately removed from the property?
Yes.
So you have a picture of that before it was removed?
Though that is the removal. So this pile here,
removed from the front of the property, but they're still here in this ditch area.
Yes. So yes. So the vegetation you see here, the sea grapes you see here, are the cuttings
right
from this area.
But they're still there.
They've been removed. Yes, this area here were removed.
Yeah, that's not live. That's the cuttings.
Yeah, right. That's the cuttings.
They're there.
So on November 14th, we were back out at the property, and you can see that there are some growth from the ones that were removed. So there are some new growth beginning to happen. Now, again, Mr. and Ms. O'Donnell has been in touch with Ms. Winters, with the county, and Ms. Winters is the one who gave them the email address and other contact information with the state. Once they get the permit from the state, they will have to apply to the town to mitigate what was done on the other side of the coastal line, so on the town side. So at this point, we're in a holding pattern, just waiting on the state to respond. But we feel that this should be done within the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So at this time, staff would ask for an order of noncompliance, grant the owner 14 days, which would be up to December 9th, to secure the paperwork from the state of Florida, and then start the mitigation on our end for the sea grapes.
Can I modify that just a little bit?
Yes, sir.
14 days after the state gets back in contact with them? Because 14 days from today, if the state doesn't call them back, you said they were waiting for the state?
Yes.
And if the state doesn't call them back, is the 14 days going to start today?
Well, right now we're just asking for an order of noncompliance.
Right.
We will bring it back to our next meeting, either which way, which will be January 25th, I believe it was, or 27th, for any further adjudication. So at that point, we will give you a better timeline of what took place.
Yeah, but my position is if we're giving them a timeline of 14 days, they're still waiting for somebody from the state to contact them, right, mm-hmm. before they take any action.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
I think the 14 days should be after they're contacted and they know what to do, not today. That's my only suggestion.
I would like to add to that you never know when the state's going to get back to them. It is, first of all, it's Thanksgiving week. Mm-hmm. Maybe nobody will get back to them until next week or the following week.
I mean, right.
You know, one small little case that the state is dealing with. I think, you know, 14 days after the state gets... Now, will the state notify Ponce Inlet also?
They will not. And that was the reason for the shorter time frame, was to keep the pressure on the property owner to continuously reach out. However, I understand everybody's concern. We can do maybe another week, go up to the 20th, which is a Friday.
20 days?
I don't agree with that. I mean, we've been sitting here and watch contractors take months to even give you a quote. And then if you approve the quote, it takes months before you get started. And we're...
The only thing I'm struggling with is that they should have gotten a state permit as well. So I think there's a problem with the state as well. So I'm struggling with giving too much time because there's a state issue here as well. And the state requires a permit as well. So there are two permits that they skipped.
There is. Yeah.
Could we add to it? Here's a suggestion. Add to the timeline that they are required to contact the state with some type of communications on their part within 14 days.
Well, that's what they've already done. They've already reached out to the state.
They need to do it again. They need to do it again.
And that's the reason for the shorter time frame. But,
I mean, if they reached out to the state and the state doesn't get back to them, I don't think we should be disciplining somebody if they don't get something done in 14 days. Unless they make the effort to go back to the state and say they sent up another email, they made another phone call and document that information. If they make due diligence of efforts, then I'm okay with it. But I have a hard time disciplining a
I don't like the word discipline.
Well, yeah. What word would you like to use? Fine?
Education and
educate,
yes.
Okay. My
punishing or whatever. But there's two separate, I'm trying to separate the two different issues. One is somebody removed vegetation. And according to your notes, the owner is saying they don't know who did it. Are they still holding to that?
No, they know who did it.
Okay.
It was their maintenance man that lives
Okay. So there's one, they holding them accountable for that act is one part that's out there. Because then the second act is fix it that's in there. And the question is, can we some way separate the two and deal with them separate, because the fix-it part obviously is complicated and lengthy, but if there's no question that they did do the act that was out there, is that something that can be addressed? I don't have the answer to that, but to me, I see they're two different
issues. Yeah, I like that idea.
I can't make a motion to do anything else. I don't know if we can do that or not. I didn't.
He has it more in his head. If he wants to make a motion, he's welcome to. But I think the chairman has to ask for a motion before we're done discussing. I'm not sure we're done discussing.
No.
Well, you can certainly hold them accountable for what their maintenance people did, because obviously the maintenance people had no right to take the plants out without their authorization. So, and we don't know if they gave them authorization or not. This point, we have to say, no, they didn't.
That they did not?
They did not give their maintenance people authorization to take out those sea grapes.
I disagree with that, only because I think that they're responsible for what their maintenance person is doing.
They are, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing.
They said they were out of the country, so he may have just taken it upon himself.
That's true.
Thank you.
Which is wrong.
Okay. I'm good.
I think the only action that we can take today is to find the property in noncompliance to require the homeowner to contact the state again, and if they're emailing them or whatever, to copy that email to Ponce Inlet so we have a record of them actually doing it, and bringing it back at the next meeting.
I'll second that. I think that's good. Yeah.
I guess I made a motion again.
I second that, but I wanted to add, if I could, a date in which they need within they have to make that contact.
That's good. And Dave, you were looking for? Oh, you were looking for?
The original one was December 9th.
Right.
Which is 14 days, which I know they've already contacted the state, but they'll do it again. I mean, I do have the owner's email address and a working cell phone number now.
How about within 7 days? That gives them the holidays and into
7 business days.
Thanksgiving
seven
is business, in 3 days.
Seven business days. That's next week sometime. Friday next week. 7 business days.
Okay.
Okay.
All of the non-compliance before they enter into contact with the state within 7 business days?
Correct. Yes.
And that's a second, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Richards?
Yes.
Mr. Van Valkenburg?
Yes.
Mr. Michael?
Yes.
And
yes.
And the
Can I ask a clarifying question before we move on? Because, David, I'm looking for a recommendation. So we just found them in noncompliance, and the rest of your recommendation says, assess a fine in accordance with Florida statutes.
That was a recommendation. That's not what we did.
Oh, no, I could say, again, we did not approve that. It was, you know, we did not assess any fine.
Correct.
Okay.
And we did not assess an administrative fee on this one. That's coming back at the next meeting.
No, I was just trying to get clarification on that.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to 9C, case number 2024-706, property address 111 Beach Street.
Thank you. Case number 2024-706, Mary Callahan Noss at 111 Beach Street. Ledge violations are Land Development Code, Section 4.10.4, tree vegetation and protection removal, specifically A1. Section 4.10.4, tree vegetation protection and removal, number 3. Section 4.10.5, procedures, B1. Section 4.10.5, procedures for historic and specimen tree removal, Section 4.10.6, violations and appeals, and Florida Statute 163.045, tree pruning, trimming, removal on residential properties. Synopsis, tree removal without permits. Volusia County property rules depicting ownership as a non-homesteaded parcel. Volusia County tax roll paperwork, as well as the warranty deed. Also, the tree service is Legends Tree Experts LLC out of Daytona Beach. Mr. Brown as the title manager. This is a notice of violation that was issued or started on September 13th of 2024 for tree removal without a valid permit. In the specific sections of town code. Now this tree, the photographs that we have, the tree was on the ground. We are not sure the actual size of the tree from breast height, but anything less than 18 inches would have needed director's approval. Anything a little bit more than that, and was a specimen tree, would have required to go in front of the Parks and Recreation Tree Advisory Board as well. And then the rights of redemption for the tree had 90 days to replant. And then the requirements for the pruning. Now, the key for this is an unacceptable risk. Florida Statute 163 outlines that a tree can be removed without permits if the tree poses unacceptable risk. And then mitigation would be required if it was below a certain rate. And under the statute, a letter must be given to or provided to town. Let me go through this first. I'm sorry, we'll get back to you. I jumped on it a little bit. Certified mailings is delivered to the Daytona Beach address, one of the certified mails, and then as well as the second certified mailing. There was a letter from...
I'm sorry, Dave, could you back up? Where did you send the certified letter?
One of the certified letters went to Daytona Beach.
You have a mailing address of Holly Hills.
Yes, it's Holly Hill address and Ponce Inlet address, but the Postal Service has it as a Daytona Beach address. If you look at the certified tracking number, the last three digits are 8375.
Right.
And you come back to the notice of violation, it's 8375.
Okay.
So that's just been, and that Holly Hill address is the tree company. And then that's the second certified letter. There was an email from Mr. Brown stating that the tree needed to be removed, in his professional opinion. And just the highlighted section here said the homeowner asked that the tree be removed. And then we responded back stating that under Florida statute, we need these three items, which was a visual inspection and assessment completed by a licensed arborist, signature by the arborist, and the tree did not pose an acceptable risk. And then on the 19th, Mr. Brown responded back saying, sorry, I can get back to you here, no worries, and here's the letter once again, but it does not outline the provisions of 163. Doesn't dictate that it was an on-site inspection, does not dictate if the tree posed an unacceptable risk. Part of that
risk would, let's say you have the house here and the tree here, the unacceptable risk is it's possibly leaning in this direction onto the house. If it's leaning in this direction and falls, that's not a risk due to the way that we read the ordinance or the statute. And then, again, this is a certified letter that was sent because we were going to have a hearing on last month, but due to the hurricanes, we postponed it. So we were just sent out another certified letter stating hearing today. Now you'll see four photographs dated September 13th, 2024. This is one of the photographs showing the company out doing the service. And the type of tree has already been cut down. And that's the remnants. Ms. Noss is here to speak on her behalf.
Okay.
If you'd like.
Anybody here want to speak to this violation? Ma'am, please step up to the...
Have you sworn in the witness? I heard you say it, but I wasn't sure you actually were sworn in the witness.
Were you sworn in, Anna?
No, not yet. No,
have you been sworn in as a witness?
No.
Just raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the test my name is to give you the truth, but the truth shall be God?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just state your name and address. For the record.
111 Beach Street, Pond Sunlit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And?
The only thing I can speak to is you guys have me as a rental, so I want to correct that. I am not a rental. I own the home and I live in the home. The gentleman that came to do the trees was asked. He said he did trees in the area before. He was going to pull a permit. I'm at work. I assume he pulled the permit. So one thing that I do is abide by the rules, and the only thing I can do is apologize for that he did not do that. I bought in Pond Sunlit because of the trees. I love the trees, and I would never cut anything down that is as beautiful as them if they weren't a hazard to the surrounding area. That's about all I can say.
How close was this to the street?
I don't know foot-wise how far that was. It's right in the driveway, right on the edge of the driveway.
Okay.
It did create damage to our truck when one of the hurricanes came through because of the dead in it and put a dent in it and cracked the windshield. But we left it up for a while. It did have some green in it, but the cavity kept growing.
Okay.
Have you contacted the contractor and questioned him about the permit?
I have, and he did tell me that he was coming here to pull the permit after the fact when I guess somebody came by. I talked to him a couple weeks ago and asked him about it again, and he said that he did not get here to pull the permit. So I knew this hearing was coming up. It was postponed in October, so I figured, had the opportunity here in November.
Do you personally feel that he's going to continue getting the permit or just...
I'm sorry, sir.
Do you think he's going to get a permit or you think he's going to just,
No, I wanted to find out from this hearing today, definitely force him to get the permit, absolutely.
Well, anybody that's working in Pond Sunlit, and I think you said he has done previous work, anybody that works in Pond Sunlit, any contractor knows, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they know they have to have a permit for just about anything.
That's why didn't mean to cut you off. That's why I assumed that he would know to do that. He said he was going to pull the permit. I had tree taken out by the house before and had the tree contractor pull a permit. I'm not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize anything.
What I was going to say, and it's really Dave Hooker's position, but any contractor that knows, that works in Pond's Inlet, knows they have to pull a permit, and the permits, I think, are required to be posted. Is that correct, Dave?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed when looking at the photograph of the truck, I didn't see the license number posted. He is licensed, correct?
We don't know. I know he's an arborist.
He claims to be an arborist, but I looked at when that flashed by me, I didn't see a license number, which I thought was required to be posted by the state trucks.
But those are for trades.
Okay, so
electrical, mechanical.
He does not need to. Okay.
Yeah, he would not be required.
So he is. You have a license number on your estimate?
It is not on here. It says licensed and bonded, but his license number is not on here, but I can get it as his phone number.
Well, I'm just concerned if that's why he did not pull a permit.
Did he give you a license number?
Well, we gave him his permission
okay.
As far as the
And again, I don't know what your experience was with the prior tree that you went out,
mm-hmm.
but having been through it personally, if you talk to the town, they're going to send somebody out to do a visual inspection ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to take time. So somebody doesn't show up and take a tree out that's in there. So it's just more than learning than anything else. But we don't have that visual inspection to be able to validate
mm-hmm.
anything that you have out there. Not that I'm saying you're wrong, and I don't doubt you, but that would help if we had that visual inspection ahead of time, and that's the reason they do that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, and that's the way I did it the first time, and that's the way I expected it to be done the second time.
Did you use this company on the first time also? Is this a different company?
No, it's a different company. They had came through, and I believe they had removed trees at another residence.
No, they put a flyer in.
Can he?
Well, we need to have.
Have you been sworn in, sir?
Yes, sir.
Have you been sworn in?
No.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that testimony and evidence is the truth? I think the truth tell you, God.
I do.
Thank you.
This gentleman had left flyers in the mailbox.
Yeah.
And I contacted him like I had others in the past, and he come by or sent one of his representatives by and gave me a reasonable price to remove that tree, because the tree was damaged in Ian, and that's when my truck was damaged. And it had been a while, and I noticed the rot, if you in the picture, that the tree had that fungus growing out of it. So I'd been getting some quotes, and he was the most reasonable one out of the bunch. And so we did the paperwork, plus I told him I wanted some limbs trimmed around my pool cage because I was going to have some work done on my pool cage, you know, because when hurricane season. So we worked up an agreement, and he told me he was going to take care of everything, and he'd let me know when he could get back to trim the trees. So he called me up about 3 weeks later and said that he was ready to go. And I said, cool, go for it. And he called me up and said that they were about done. I showed up to pay him. Things looked good, everything. He said that he ran into a little problem because Mr. Hooker showed up, and I guess they had a problem about the permit that he said he was taking care of it. And then next thing I know, we're getting a certified letter about this.
And so basically, he took your money and ran.
Pretty much, yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I texted him this morning to ask him if he was going to show up at this hearing, and the response was, hey, David, I don't believe I'll make it the hearing. I apologize for all the confusion. We will be held, responsible, of course. And that's all I got. And that was this morning at 7:49 a.m.
Well, he is in the Sun Biz. He is a licensed limited liability LLC.
And, but an LLC, does this, it, that doesn't say whether or not he's a certified licensed arborist.
Right, just as he has a business.
That's what I'm struggling
but
with.
But now that tree that is in question, it was standing about 16 to 18 foot tall. It was a good sized tree, but the top of it was busted out during Ian when it damaged the truck. It sits about 18 feet from the house. It's about 20 feet from the road. And had that fungus growing in it. It concerned me because the top was gone. And it was in, you know, you can see it starting to get worse.
Sure.
And so I needed to get it dropped. And I didn't want to just go out there and take a chainsaw to it, because if it had fell, it would fell on my driveway. And then I'd had a big crack and busted
That's
spot.
That's irrelevant. It's that we didn't pull a permit. That's what the problem
I know
is.
It, but I'm just trying to say that's why I got somebody to do it that I thought was licensed and was going to do it correctly.
Can I ask a question here, Mr. Nasa? This Alexander Brown, is he Legends Tree Service and Arbor?
Yes.
They're one and the same. Because
yes.
I've seen that truck around town quite often, Legends. But
that's what it says.
It shows us that he's the owner in Sunbiz.
Yeah. So he's done working around town before.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dave, if
I got one of the
what the permit was not done, but if the permit was done because they didn't fill out the proper description of why, being it's close to the driveway, it would have been approved, correct? Where when you said about going to the left or the right, if it's near the driveway and it's going to be in a pedestrian area, it would have been a safety issue.
Possibility, yes. But unknown, because when Mr. Mincy showed up, the tree was already down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't deny any of this, so please know that. Unfortunately, the proper procedures were not followed. That is not the way I work. I work here in Ponce Inlet. And I expect people to follow my rules, and I follow your rules. So with this happening, we just have to figure out what it is and move forward. I know I've learned a valuable lesson is if we're going to have somebody do it, that I'm there. I was not there. I was told he was coming. And going forward, that will not happen again. Okay.
It sounds like this contractor should have been here today.
He should have.
And
he told me he was coming.
It's too bad. Ultimately, of course, you're responsible for this sort of thing, but it's not. I don't think it's fair, and I agree.
So when Mr. Mincy got there, the tree was already down, and the Tree Service said they'd come up and get a permit. So that would be a permit after the fact.
Yes.
Okay.
And the contractor advised that they would be in later today to secure a permit. Did they come in later that day?
No. Yeah, as of this morning, still no permit's been even applied for.
Okay.
So, which is correct, because I text him, and I said, can you send me a copy of the permit? And he said they did not get it yet. And I said, well, I need a permit because we're going to a hearing.
So refresh my memory. I'm sorry. I'm trying to just find the date that the tree came down. I'm just...
September 13th.
Okay, so we're 2 months out, 60 days since the date the tree came down.
Yes.
And no permit has been pulled in 60 days, correct? That's what I'm hearing, right?
Okay. In this situation, is the owner able to pull their own permit?
As a homeowner, theoretically they can, yes.
As a homeowner, you could get your own permit for this.
But you still need to have
here's the
signed arborist.
Right.
Well, yeah, so here's the
You could apply for the permit, and he would say, you need to get this, and they would give him the statute of Florida, and they'd go get that and then bring it back, and then it would get approved.
Correct? Well, yeah, because there's a couple things here. So the first one is work without a permit, right? Now, a permit wouldn't be needed if it showed unacceptable risk, but we don't know if it was unacceptable risk or not, just based on an arborist report. The town reached back out to Mr. Brown, asking him, this is what we need. We pretty much told him, this is what we need to see in your report, and he never submitted that. So this could have all been avoided if Mr. Brown just submitted the proper report. Well, so now we're already past that point where Mr. and Ms. Noss is here and are looking at a hefty fine, theoretically, because this is considered irreversible damage. According to the report, and it's up here on the screen if you'd like to look, the contractor put this on the Nosses saying the homeowner has asked for the removal of the tree. Well, we don't have the size of the tree, so it's irreversible. So technically that tree is a $5,000 tree at this point. Plus the 100% mitigation for the breast size diameter. So mm-hmm. If it was 16 inches, they need to plant 16 inches worth of tree somewhere or possibly into the tree bank that the town has.
I know where you live because I live on the street behind you.
Yeah, they got plenty of trees.
And I can tell you, there's no room on that property to plant another tree.
I would agree. I would agree. But I'm just letting you know what the code says.
Yeah.
And this whole thing could have been resolved just with the homeowner. The contractor. We've had zero contact with the contractor during this time frame.
Even though I recluse myself?
Yeah, sure.
I can. I live next door to them, and that tree was a mess. That was going to come down in another storm anyway. Not that that excuse not getting a permit, but.
Yeah, I want to say I do understand how, you know, the position the contractor has put them in. I have a whole lot of those oak trees on my property too, and I have a couple that are a little unnerving. That's why I've asked the questions about the arborist. The arborists do have license numbers. It should be on their estimate. The one that I work with regularly has his license number right on my estimate, so I know exactly who they are, where they're coming from, and what they've done. But in this case, you don't even have that on the estimate, so I'm questioning whether he is a licensed arborist or...
What is this number that's right here?
You'd have to look that up. I guess you'd have to look it up in the licensing to find out, but it doesn't say whether it's in effect, whether he's qualified. I mean, we just don't know that, and I know that they don't know that either. So I'm really struggling with it, but I do feel that if we don't have some recourse here, they won't have any recourse either, and this contract is going to continue forward.
I don't think we have any recourse against the contract.
We don't, but we do and we don't. It is irreparable and irreversible damage.
Did the contractor say in a text that he was going to be held responsible?
Mm-hmm. So there, he took the responsibility back on himself.
He's going to have to take that to a court.
I know.
Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah,
we appreciate your presence here.
This is not the place for us to determine what a civil court's going to do. We have to take a look at what happened here. And what happened here is a permit was not obtained. We have no way now of determining, no matter how much speculation we use, as to what the condition of that tree was. I'm inclined to believe, your statements that you're making. I just don't know if I have enough knowledge myself as to know whether a tree was needed to come down or not. So what we're dealing with is a permit is not obtained. We have no arborist report. We have irreparable damage, and we can't put the tree back up. This is why it's irreparable damage, because we can't figure this out.
Sure.
So that's just where I am. My personal feelings, I feel for them, but where I'm at is facts are the facts.
Right.
I still have something, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
If I may.
Yeah.
We sat here in our last meeting and we listened to a case for over an hour, and we finalized on a $250 administrative fee and closed it. I'm ready to make a motion.
Make your motion.
I would like to make a motion to go ahead with the $250 administrative fee and require the homeowners to get a permit and to file through and make sure that permit is done properly.
A second.
I'd like to amend that a little and give them until the next meeting to get the permit. So it gives you approximately 30 days to get a hold of your contractor and force him to come in and get a permit. And I don't know where that case is going to go from there, but at least you would have the permit at that point.
And I would like to amend that he should be providing an arborist report that the tree needed to come down to protect these people.
But he has to do that to get the permit, I believe.
Yes, but yeah. I would like that to be there so that they're protected as well.
As long as we're talking about this is Alexander Brown. He should be taken off of any recommended contractors that the town might provide to folks who come in and say, geez, I have to have this work done.
I don't think that's something that we can do
on
this board.
No, I don't think that's something we can do. And
I agree
with
you.
But I think it's a good idea because this is obviously an injustice the way that he's treated these people.
So. Holly, are you shaking your head?
Let's get the motion. Can you get the motion repeated?
Yeah, that would be something for Mr. Sino to address, whether or not it's within your scope. That would be, excuse me, something for Mr. Sino to address, whether or not it's in your scope. But it's not my position as the prosecutor that we would be dealing with anything having to do with the contractor at this time.
Right.
Only because it is. I understand the narrative like behind what went on. However, ultimately, under the code, it is the property owner who's responsible for getting the permit, and so that's all the town is presenting today.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Any sort of contractor, anything with that is a separate issue, and depending on Mr. Sino's advice, would likely be outside the scope of this council and this board.
Do you need to do the second motion again, or do you want to read through what you think you might have?
We need a motion.
All right. I made the motion, and my motion is to file through with administrative fee of $250 for the cost of and to require the homeowner to get the proper permit before the next meeting in January 5th. And the next permit would be required to have the required for Florida statute.
So can I ask a clarifying question on that? To go back to David.
Yep.
David, in order to get the permit, what I keep hearing is someone has to prove that there was an unacceptable risk presented by the tree as it was standing. Is that correct?
No. Okay. So the unacceptable risk would negate the permit process. You can still get a permit to remove a tree, and that's what we're moving in that direction for the NOSs at this point.
So if the unacceptable risk was there, they could remove the tree, just paying the
zero
permit cost.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a permit cost.
There would be no permit cost.
Right.
They could remove the tree, and there's no consequence in terms of having to replace the tree.
Correct.
Okay. So what is required of them in order to get a permit now?
It would be the same process. So if they can get their arborist to submit the paperwork,
correctly,
then there would be no fee. But since the tree has been removed under the code, you would have to get a permit, pay for the permit for the removal, and there may be a mitigation to the tree that was removed. Because we're a tree city. So you remove a tree, got to replace a tree.
So you're still going to have the consequence at the end.
Yes.
Of having.
But that's the reason why for the NOSs is to get that letter from the arborist just saying it was an unacceptable risk. You were out there. It's
dead, dying disease that needs to come down, if that's the case, then there's no fee and no replacement.
And it-